crazy about you, and I know this is fast, but I gotta make it last. And I just want you to know I've never felt this way, and I just want you to see you drive me crazy, and I don't want you to go. Please don't go and stay close. Catch me as I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. As I fall deep, deep, deeper for you.
Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. This is a show with a guest that we finally arranged to get on, Elaine Bouchard, and she was recommended by a lady that was on our show before, Joy Garner. And you ought to go back and look at the archive for that show if you haven't seen it. It was really good on the Control Group project. And Joy told us that her experience with a particular healer was really great. I didn't realize at the time that they were actually related family members, but the important part was that this lady that Joy had this experience with, named Elaine Bouchard, was a healer and was working with a particular system that is called Body Talk. And that fits right into a lot of things that we've discussed, because we know the body's capable of communication and has been trying to communicate with us since before we were born. And it's good to start making that conscious. All kinds of things open up. So we thought, well, the best thing would be to get Elaine to come on the show if she would do that. And even better to, you know, after explaining a little bit about it, to demonstrate how it works. And I know nothing about this system. I've had no personal experience with it at all. I just wanted to find out because of all the things that Joy had told us. So this is our opportunity to do that, and wanted to welcome Elaine on the show, Elaine Bouchard, and thanks for being willing to tell us about what you do. So glad you're here.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay, so where I want to start, my understanding is that at 21 years old, I don't know how long that was ago with you, but at that age, you had some kind of really bad health problems that mm-hmm. you can explain more if you feel like it. And you were trying all types of things. I can relate to that because that happened to me a couple generations back in the mid-60s. And it seems like a lot of people who get into natural health modalities start by having their own serious health problems, and they get forced to explore because things are not working out the way that they're promised initially, and they realize, I'd rather stay in my physical body for a while, so I'm going to have to do some exploring. And that makes sense. And then once you got the benefit of what you discovered with the Body Talk system, then you started actually doing it to help other people. And I think that mm-hmm. was starting like around 2010 that you started helping other people, yeah. right? Something right. like that. And so what I thought we'd do, since we're assuming that most people who are watching don't have the background to really know anything about this, if you want to say anything mm-hmm. about what the emergency that you were personally dealing with was like, mm-hmm. and then what the steps were that brought you up to using it, getting the benefit, and up to where you are now. And at that mm-hmm. point, that context, we'll see if we can let you do some kind of a demo and explain it.
Okay. As you said, I got really ill when I was 21. I went to Thailand, and pretty much every organ and system in my body shut down at that time, and I was bedridden for about 6 months. And doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. And excuse me, nobody was offering any solutions, really. I would just go to the health food store and get supplements and, you know, just throw darts in the dark all the time for help. And it wasn't until somebody recommended Body Talk that I started noticing improvement. And at that time, when I say every organ and system shut down, I mean, even my own stomach wasn't working. It wasn't producing stomach acid. I had gastroparesis if we just sat in there for 24 hours.
And the doctors were just admitting they had no idea what was happening?
Sent me a prescription for a support group. They said, you're depressed, go get counseling. There was no help whatsoever. Okay. And so I started Body Talk, and I immediately started feeling better. And it didn't make sense to me at all. So they were talking about chakras and belief systems and past traumas. And I was like, how does this all link up together? Right. But that it worked. I started feeling better immediately, and slowly but surely, each system that had broken down started improving. And so I started researching it, and it actually turned into my life purpose, because prior to that, I wanted to go into psychotherapy, but I started to become dismayed by the fact they were pathologizing people. They never got to the root causes, and they just medicated them to suppress symptoms. And this really looked at the whole person and healed them from their root. So, yeah.
Okay, so when you had that first treatment with Body Talk, the person that you found who did that, what did they do? I mean, did they see you in person? Did they talk to you on the phone? What happened?
Yeah, like most people, I wasn't sure what Body Talk was, so I didn't understand distance sessions could work. So it was in person, and I just laid on the table, a massage table. She grabbed my hand, started muscle checking it for yeses or nos, and started telling me all these weird things that came up. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel better, so I'll keep coming back.
Well, what did she do that made you feel better, or was it just the talking?
It's not the talking per se. That's the part of the session where we dig up all the root causes that are, you know, creating the problems. It's okay. At the end of the session where you tap it out on the brain, the heart brain, and the gut brain, that the body starts to implement everything we brought up to heal in a session.
Okay, that's so what did she physically do that would be visible when she's doing that?
Most of it's energetic and focus-wise. That's where quantum physics comes into the picture. But physically, you do some tapping on the heart complex, the gut brain, okay. The brain. And there are some active memory techniques. That's similar to EMDR, where you are processing trauma. You're doing eye movements, and it's helping your brain actually process old trauma out. So there's miscellaneous, non-invasive techniques that we do.
See, I can relate to this because the first healing teacher that I had in the early 60s was officially a chiropractor, but he was known all over the world for the healing that he did. And he was in the room with you, but he generally never even touched the person. I mean, He did most of his work from about 3 feet away from the table. And then I remember he put his hand on the heart center of the solar plexus and the other one on sometimes on the top of the head, but what was really happening wasn't reflected in physical movement, and people walked out in completely different condition than they walked in. And this is not out of the realm of possibility just because it's different than what people are used to. So did you have more than one session with that person or not?
Yeah, it was ongoing. When you have severe disabilities in that many different parts of the body, you kind of need ongoing work, because let's say one issue needs 10 sessions to resolve. Well, if you have 1,000 issues.
Right. Could be a while.
So it took a little while, but that was all part of my healing journey, the whole wounded healer thing. I just learned more and more and applied it to helping other people.
So how long did it take before you felt actually good?
On an ongoing basis, it took probably a couple of years, because back then Body Talk hadn't integrated a lot of new advances that we have in modern medicine. So now we know about the microbiome. We can integrate that into Body Talk sessions. And I had huge microbiome imbalances. So I had to wait until they actually started integrating that into sessions. And epigenetics as well. I had epigenetic markers that were holding my body in this physiological dysfunction we had to resolve. So now we can integrate those. That's the beautiful part about Body Talk. The more we learn in Western medicine, we don't have to wait years for them to develop some drug to apply it. We just apply it in session now.
So what kind of an organization is Body Talk now, and who started it? How does that work?
It's huge. It grows more and more every year. But John Beltheim, he originally had Epstein-Barr. He was a chiropractor in Australia, and he was about to die. He was just getting worse and worse. And then one of his students taught him this Aboriginal technique to resolve, you know, any type of viral or fungal contaminants you're exposed to. And it worked. Next day, he was up and better. So he thought, wow, there's something to this. And he started integrating Chinese medicine. He brought in some quantum physicists and some psychologists, like anyone and anyone you can think of. And they built the whole modality around this.
Okay. And there are practitioners all over the world at this point, I assume, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the difference between in-person sessions with it and distance?
Virtually nothing, aside from the comfort of the client. you know, they can prefer to stay home if they're too sick to go out. So that's great for them to get distance sessions. But some people don't believe it works. They need that physical representation.
Right.
So aside from that, the impact is exactly the same. Most of my sessions, including my mother's session that worked on her heart, were distance sessions. And they're all equally as effective. And that's where quantum physics enters into the picture. It's our observation that impacts reality and helps the client's system shift.
So you have to respect the nocebo principle, right? That if somebody believes it can't work at a distance, they could make that true.
I don't think that's how it works with body talk, though.
You think everybody can't, even if they believe it can't work, they don't block it?
No, because our systems always want to heal, even if we don't necessarily believe in it.
Okay.
This is working at such a level that the body is going to make the shift because that's what our natural state is. It's a self-healing organism.
Right.
Can I speak on this one?
Yeah, and this is Joy Garner, our friend from the other show.
I absolutely believed that it was a hocus pocus.
Okay, good. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
To lose my life. And I'm not someone who trusts doctors for good reason. And so I didn't know what to do. And, I want to make a quick correction. The very first session I got that resolved something that was literally life-threatening was body talk. But at that time, Naomi was not yet certified. And she purchased a session for me to save my life with her instructor at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a distance thing. And even though I had no reason on earth to actually believe really that this would work, she told me she'd already paid for it. Mom, please schedule it. You need to do this. Right. And really, it was kind of like just to please her. Okay, I'll go ahead and talk to this lady on the phone and let her do her little voodoo, right?
Yeah.
So answer your question on the issue of that. Like, it works whether you believe it's going to or not.
Okay, that's an important point. So your belief that it won't work doesn't stop it.
It doesn't stop it.
Okay.
It's much more, it's the practitioner that has that power to set you into a position frequency-wise, I guess. That's all what I keep coming back to. The future of healing is definitely frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And people, our consciousness is the most powerful way to alter frequencies of other organisms, other people, our world around us. And because we're all human and we've got the same basic coding of DNA, you know, this species. To me, on a physics level, now that I understand this is real and I've really looked into it, I believe that the fact that we have the same, or, you know, we share this humanity DNA, that means one conscious person that has harnessed this art is capable of altering someone else's frequency.
Yeah.
Without actually being in their presence, like physically next to them or touching them.
For positive or negative sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes
for negative
too. Sometimes we deal with curses.
Yeah. In fact, this is a huge subject, but in a way, we're all doing treatments on everybody else all the time. It's just not focused.
You know, that you're sending energy to them. It's impacting them on some level. So that's how this sessions work.
That's kind of part of the reason that I did, and I'll back after this, but really quick, that's part of the reason that I did a turnabout on the idea of things like how I modeled feelings of compassion and praying for people that I love and things like that, rather than that sort of, it will help if I feel sad for them.
Ew. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right. No.
Big misconception.
If I'm gonna have my thoughts about someone else, I'm going to be feeling good things about them and their future and their life and who they are.
Yeah.
You know. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Well, this fits right into what we work on in Planetary Healing Club, which is a separate section that you know about, Joy. And it's all based on the idea that we are affecting everybody else all the time. And there are ways to change the effectiveness of that to expand out into an unlimited field. And that really, I'm not going to divert our discussion into that, but that just happens to be the only thing left that I see that could turn everything around in the world at this point. Not to the exclusion of our physical efforts, you know, like the control group project or whatever we're working on physically. But behind that, what treatment we're giving everybody in our intention all the time while we're doing everything else is really the most powerful.
Totally agree. And I think the world's at this point with toxicity where we can't stop that. Right. We just have to figure out a way for our bodies to survive it and adapt.
Well, I think that eventually the potential of what we're talking about could heal ecosystems as well as people. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're alive in their own way.
Yeah.
So it might be a good time to tell people a little bit more, if you want to, what was wrong that you were experiencing, Joy? What was this life-threatening problem, and how did that work? I mean, what was the situation?
Having an enormous amount of heart pain to the point it was getting more frequent and more severe, and it reached a crisis level where it was frequently causing my knees to buckle. And I am not the person who will call for a doctor or medical care in almost any circumstance.
Yeah,
I mean, I would have to have a thigh bone sticking in my lung probably before I thought they could help me or would want them to try.
That's always really distracting when that happens. You have to call somebody.
Yeah. So, I mean, I intentionally, whether I could afford it or not, because the most of the time I could afford it, but I've intentionally gone without medical insurance because I don't want to be tempted, even, you know,
right,
to go, oh,
right,
I go back and see what the doc says or get a test, you know, because even the tests can kill you. I mean, they're dangerous. That's just my personal experience, my own empirical evidence of my life and what I've witnessed personally. That
right.
is so. It reached a crisis level where I literally thought that I was probably not going to be around much longer. And I was keenly aware that it was psychologically and mentally driven because these attacks would come on when I was under extreme stress.
And it was centered on chest pain, right?
What's that?
It's centered on chest pain is what you were feeling?
I would lose my lung capacity so that I wasn't inhaling and exhaling fully.
Okay.
And it seemed as though I was only able to inhale or exhale a teaspoon or two at a time. At the same time, the heart would just, like, it felt like somebody was like a big monster was just squeezing it, you know, and pressing on the lungs.
Right.
It actually felt like a spiritual attack.
Yeah.
But it was very, very physical. And any other person would have just, you know, called 911.
Sure.
But I was looking for some anything else to solve it. I was trying to find ways to get past the emotional situations going on in my life that seemed to be preceding these attacks, but I wasn't having much success there. I just seemed totally vulnerable to the point where whatever things were coming at me had direct access to completely control and disable me.
Yeah.
You know? And so I started describing these things to my daughter. She got very concerned. She set up the session. I got on the phone with her what I thought was a voodoo lady, and
right, because she wasn't able to do it herself at that point, right? She wasn't.
No, I've been doing body talk since I started studying, maybe 9 or 10 years ago. But I wasn't certified until maybe two or three years ago.
Okay.
So I was doing it, just didn't get the certification.
Okay.
I'm not. Why at that time you chose to turn me over to her, other than you knew she was really good?
Yeah, she was my personal practitioner. And it's a rule of thumb in body talk, you don't work on your loved ones because you're biased. So you're not going to get this.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe things you're looking for aren't going to be as true and clear because you've just heard a lot of things. Or,
yeah.
You know, it may not actually be the core of a problem, maybe.
Yeah.
So I get on the phone with this woman. It was years ago now, so I can't even remember her name.
Shelly Poovey. She's amazing.
Shelly Poovey. Okay, so I get on the phone with her, and she's not really, she tells me a couple of things, and that doesn't really prove anything, because I know she's spoken to my daughter, so maybe my daughter told her this stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, go on, right. Miss Psychic, whatever, you know. And I'm still completely doubtful. But then she does start centering on where the problem is, and she's walking me through it, and she's not really talking that much. She's just going, hold on a minute. And it's quiet, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But I just sat there and waited. And then she would say, try this. I'm getting the sense that your coordination, the timing between your breathing and your heartbeats are not coordinating correctly. And so try this. And I can't remember for certain if she suggested it or if it was my idea. I'm not 100% certain about that. However, what happened is I ended up literally transporting my mind to being on a horse riding on the beach, and for every horse hoofbeat, it was like part of my heartbeat. And
this is like something that you were kind of visualizing being on the horse. Is that what was happening?
Yeah, like, well, it just popped into my head. I can't remember if she was there or if I thought it up. I really can't. But all I know is that I was suddenly there on this horse, and for every four heartbeat or coordinated efforts of my heart to pump blood, I would have the shore of the ocean wave coming in and going out. That was represented my breathing. And she said, okay, we'll just stick with that. I think I told her I was there. And it's working with my body right now. And then she did some more work that I don't know what she did. But all I know is all of a sudden, I could breathe completely in a way that, like, it seemed like it had been maybe two or more years since I had fully inhaled and exhaled ever. No matter how much I'd tried, consciously before, but wasn't able.
That's
And at the same time, that squeezing that was always there on my heart now, but was harder than it sometimes would be very intense. But then it would lighten up, but it was always there.
Yeah.
It literally just felt like the hands of squeezing or whatever was squeezing on my heart was just leaving, and it was just gone. 10 minutes with this woman on the phone that I didn't even trust or believe in, and my whole life changed. After she was done with me, I had an entire coping mechanism for dealing with the stresses in my life. And it just came to me intuitively that I could have my own way of coping with stress that would not give anything outside of me access to this.
Right.
To affect. I now had a shield that would keep my autonomy there to where things couldn't get into it no matter what was going on around me.
Because the environmental stressors that were causing that issue were addressed, be they, you know, external or internal. I'm sure there was some, you know, personal, mental, emotional stuff.
My belief now is that she tapped into something that opened up my own ability to re-coordinate a frequency of my system, not just on the level of breathing versus heartbeats, but on the level of cellular level, mechanically of my heart and every cell in there and its frequency. Mm-hmm. Coordinating again, and once that I felt that again, if somebody near me was doing something to me or my life that otherwise would have sent me to this place where I'm grabbing my chest and falling on the floor, suddenly I didn't have that reaction to it anymore. I stayed conscious and was able to actually look at people that I was interacting with that had kind of been beaten up on me. And just look at them while they're starting up and just do this. I don't know where that came from, but I just thought it up and it started working on everyone around me. Whenever I experienced that.
I'd like to do a little illustration on how the mental, emotional, and physical
I think that would be really good.
Okay. Well, before I do the demo, I was just going to explain an example, one session I did recently on a client with severe environmental allergies. Okay. And it was so bad, he had to wear a mask to work every single day. And he came in, pretty simple case, actually. It wrapped up 90% in one session because it all started from in childhood, around 5 years old. There happened to be those same pollens in the environment. He was walking. A girl he had a crush on tripped him. He fell forward on his chin, needed stitches, just was bleeding out everywhere. So for a five-year-old, it's really traumatic. Yeah. On multiple levels, it's the girl you like, and you just start bleeding everywhere. And so what happened was his amygdala tagged all the pollens in the environment that time as extra dangerous substances. So he was reactive to those ever since. So once we got to the root cause, balanced those out, his allergies went away 90% in the first session, the other 10% in the second. He hasn't had problems since.
Yeah, I was going to ask you right before you brought that up, mm-hmm. any other experiences I guess you've been doing this officially for about 3 years, right? Since you got certified, mm-hmm. more or less. And any other interesting cases like that you felt like sharing would be great.
Yeah, that's one. I've had a couple like that, actually. Allergies were a big thing in recent months. So there are a few.
Right.
As mixed with environmental toxins, sometimes pesticides were a big trigger. If, say, the person's father had just gotten sick or passed away, you know, then you're experiencing multiple dangers, environmental and emotional, and it just combines to create.
Right.
You know, stir.
I mean, what it suggests.
There's so many mini ones.
Even when there's a physical cause happening, what you're kind of suggesting is that there's always a simultaneous emotional connection to it.
Yeah.
That allows it to be much more disruptive.
Yeah, and we see that a lot. You know, some people, they can smoke and drink and do drugs all day, every day, but they're so mentally and emotionally healthy, and they never experienced any significant trauma. They had good enough parents, you know, childhood was relatively easy. They didn't come into this world with any karmic imprints. They're just pretty happy-go-lucky people. Their bodies can withstand a lot more assaults than most other people. It's the emotional trauma and the consciousness aspects that really create the downstream effects. And that could be negative belief systems, could be you live in a perpetual state of fear, somebody taught you the world was a dangerous place, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. Okay, so even though joy is not, you know, in some kind of emergency situation right now, how can you kind of demonstrate to make it as realistic as possible and still show what you would do if there was a problem?
So, I mean, usually the immediate effects after a session, you feel deeply relaxed. The next day you start noticing all the shifts and changes. You're like, oh, the problems are going away. So I can't exactly show you like tomorrow she's we can either do an agenda session or we could just see what her body wants to bring up to heal, because the body always has priorities for healing that it likes to go.
Why don't you explain the difference between those two things first? Because most people won't know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Between agenda and letting the body lead it, you know.
So agenda session just means let's say you have menstrual irregularities. You come in to fix that problem. That's our agenda for the session. Priority just means, and the body will do this anyway, but it can start with an agenda. The body heals in order of priority, as in, let's say, before it can address the adrenal glands, it needs to address the thyroid. You know, there's stages in which it has to build a foundation of health before it can move to the next thing, and it won't ever go out of sequence. And I can't necessarily direct or intrude upon that.
If you don't want to intrude, why do you do an agenda? Is that because the person wants it?
Well, you're still working your priority. But let's say we go into a session with an agenda. We're addressing your allergies. Okay, maybe that client will be able to address the allergies directly within that session. Or maybe we have a few years worth of crap that they have to clean out in a few sessions before we can get to the allergy portion. Okay. It's up to the body. Yeah.
All right. So the decision, it sounded like there are two ways to approach it, the agenda session or just letting the body work. How do you decide in any given case which way to do it?
Usually the client knows. They're like, hey, this is my problem I want to focus on, or just let's see what comes up because it's balancing and it's maintenance.
Okay. All right. So should we make believe that joy is just coming to you for the first time, and how do you want to do it?
Or do you have anything you want to focus on?
I don't think we need to make believe. I have enough understanding of how this works now to where I think we could maybe do a session where she's just kind of doing a maintenance thing and seeing what comes up.
Okay. Okay.
Because I don't have anything specific going on with me right now. I'm really exhausted because I've been working really hard. Maybe just a maintenance thing to get me, or see if there's something about to go wrong that I'm not even aware of.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
It's big preventative. Okay. So for this, I grab client's hand, and if it's a distance session, then I just muscle check myself, but I tune into their system.
Okay. And remember, when you say something like that, you just muscle check yourself. Assume that people don't even know what that means, and you try to explain it, you know, to somebody totally new to the whole thing.
Okay. Well, why don't you take a minute to explain muscle checking?
How do I explain that? The body knows what's wrong and why and how to fix it. And so basically we're just tapping into that innate healing intelligence that knows what's going on a cellular level and has a record of basically your whole life. And so I sort of program the client's hands for yeses or noes. That's a yes. If it doesn't move, that's a no. Yes, no. And then I start going through a really comprehensive protocol chart, and it covers everything, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical level, and we ask questions, and we get yeses or noes to them.
Do you do that verbally or silently in your own mind?
It's a mixture, whatever I feel is relevant. If we know that the client knows about these things, I'll say it out loud. If not, sometimes I'm pretty silent.
Okay.
I'm just going to get grounded. Okay. So I'm in section 4, which doesn't make much sense to people not familiar, but we're in body chemistry. We're in allergies, more specific. We're looking at. Okay. It's something in the air. So sometimes you do a little digging. Sometimes you get pop-ups from intuition, but I'm getting heavy metals like aluminum.
Oh, chemtrails.
Yeah, that's a whole issue in itself, you know, because everybody's breathing in this junk that's being sprayed all the time.
Yeah.
So thankfully, we have a wonderful technique for balancing environmental allergies.
Good. Because there's a lot of people walking around that feel like if there's heavy spraying, they have to feel terrible.
Yeah. Which actually, it programs your limbic brain to be more afraid of those chemicals, which creates downstream effects where you are more sensitive to them. So.
Exactly.
I'm getting emotions around that, fear, panic, worry.
About Kendra?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've been reading and looking at videos about that lately.
Oh, bigger. So that's not helping. So we're going to remove that emotional or disassociate that emotional quality and balance your system to the heavy metals and orientation, deprivation. Relinking. We're in section 2, environment, general diagnosis. We're in life cycles, and it's pauses. Okay. So, Chinese medicine comes up in these two. More specific, just a second. So I have millions of charts and books. It's a lot to remember. Okay, we're in the fifth house, all about creativity, pleasure, appropriation, social activity, and the inner child, harmony, wisdom, knowing. This is connected to your heart. sort of like freak out on this whole scary agenda.
Everything I do is from the heart. Everything.
That's good.
So.
never done that. Okay. We're linking cellular repair, organ endocrine body part, it's in your abdomen, we're in your liver, more specific, no. We're doing an overall cellular repair on her liver. The cellular repair is extremely powerful. So there's an orientation, time, person, place, activity. It's law work, stressing out.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no further on that. We're linking. We're in energies. Okay. We're in throat chakra. More specific. No. There's a definition. There's an overactivity for chakra, so for chakra is all about vocalization, verbalizing.
Overactivity. I'm a talkaholic.
Balance that. So I don't have much time to go really in depth with this one. Ordinarily, there's usually whole stories behind what comes up, and especially that would invade her privacy to publicize it. So I'm kind of doing a surface level session.
Okay. But,
I'm going to do one more link. Okay. Matrices. Complex.
Not sure how well this works for radio.
Sorry, Joy. I couldn't quite hear you.
I'm not sure how well this works for radio.
Well, I mean, what we're letting people in on a session that they wouldn't normally get to see, and it gives them a little bit of a feeling for what's happening. Now, we are on some audio only platforms where people are just going to be listening, they're just going to have to pick up what they can and we'll summarize the whole thing, you know, at the end and let people know what it means. So it'll be fun.
I'm going to keep silent just for privacy reasons.
Well, what you're doing is you're asking questions mentally, right? And for radio listeners, like Joy was saying, you're doing the muscle testing at the same time.
It's also with a test with the hand.
Right.
You can explain how that works with the hand.
I just did. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do a link. Section 4 again. Circulation, nerve supply, blood, nerve, lymph. Okay. Within, organ, endocrine, body part. We're in the abdomen. We're actually doing the large intestine. Regulating that. Communication definition there. We're in consciousness, general, natural, pathological, organ, endocrine, body part, the large intestine. The large intestine is all about releasing and letting go. So if pathological consciousness comes up for the large intestine, that basically means it's off balance. It's holding on too much. And we just got a limb priority for that area too. So we're going to allow you to release on an energetic, physical, and emotional level.
You're going through a list in your mind of asking all kinds of questions about what's going on, basically, right?
Yeah, I can the protocol chart that I'm using right now. It's pretty in depth. I mean, I have most of it, but this has environmental balances, family matrix dynamics, body chemistry, microbes, toxins, allergies, intolerances, neurotransmitters.
So you're going down the whole list and just asking
And then, you know, if it's a yes to section one, I ask more specific and I get consciousness more specific, et cetera.
Okay. And are you doing anything to remedy what you find at the same time or just asking?
Some people do that. They'll tap out throughout the session. I prefer to wait till the very end, and then I keep my focus there entirely.
Okay.
I think we're going to wrap up in a minute. We can keep this short.
Okay.
I'm getting we can do implementation and tap out. So the body chemistry technique, we'll start with that one. And that was the one that John Beltheim cured his Epstein-Barr virus with and built the whole modality around. So it starts with a little bit of saliva. She's going to get some. And she's wearing a dress, so she can't do this. But usually we put it in the navel, which the navel has all
these... It'll soak right through this dress.
Oh, okay. Well, the navel has all these nerve endings, and it's a major energy reading center. So there's more information in your saliva moment to moment of what's going on in your immune system than there is in your blood, even. So we use the saliva to basically instruct the body, okay, you know, tag these foreign viruses, bacteria we want you to attack, or, you know, reduce the inflammatory response to the allergens, etc. So get some saliva, and you can either put it on your navel,
or you can put it... I'm going to squish this through the dress. I need to wash the dress anyway.
Or you can put it on the sternum.
I'll do both. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so you're doing that and you're giving a suggestion for the body to do something healing, right?
Yes. Here's the technique I'm going to use. So can you put your hands on the side of your brain? Yeah. She's holding her limbic brain.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is what's called a modified cortices. And this is going to bring focus to what we're trying to tap out right now. To the brain, the heart brain, and the gut brain, which we're trying to balance her to the environmental allergens, the heavy metals. Take deep breaths.
Okay, so if you're on the radio, there's just light tapping that Elaine's doing on Joy on head, sternum area, and navel. Over and over again.
And I'm basically keeping my focus on her body's reactivity to the environmental allergens and sort of diminishing that impact and reducing the emotional quality around it, which was a lot of fear and worry.
That sounds very accurate to me.
And I yawn when energy's moving. Okay, putting hands down. We're going to do a cellular repair as well. I don't know if you want me to go into that whole thing, so I'll do a shorthand.
Well, explain what you mean, right? Because you said the cellular repair is really good, powerful. What are you talking about, assuming we know nothing about what you mean?
So the body knows exactly what... We're working on her liver. The body knows what parts are damaged, and the cellular repair just brings focus there for the body to reconfigure any damaged parts and totally heal and repair them. It's basically a complete and utter overhaul of that organ. It's amazing what it can do. So, open the genetic code. I'm going to test something. My preparatory legs. So, can you put your hands on the head? Okay. The breath helps distribute information all along the body so that it really soaks in.
And if you are listening on the radio, then my suggestion is when you have time, go back and look at a video archive, too. It's good to see actually visually what's going on.
put your hands on your cheeks. This is for the master muscles. There's more ancestral information in the master muscles and the sacrum than in other part of the body. Okay. We're working on the DNA level here. So
you're having Joyce holding her hands against the sides of the jaw. And Elaine's continuing the light tapping.
I'm repeating phrases in my head as well.
Okay.
I'm going to do a pineal to pituitary hold. They're the master endocrine glands, so they finish this sequence and they basically coordinate the rest of the healing and repair.
Okay.
We just started.
Okay.
So this is the phrase that I'm repeating. Replace the old genetic code with the new healthy genetic code and replace the old cells with the new healthy cells.
Okay.
This helps the body know exactly what it's doing. Close the genetic code. Genetic code flows. So the liver is the most regenerative organ in the whole human body. So this technique is extremely powerful. But what happens a lot of times with people who have cirrhosis or something is even though the liver continues to replace cells every, how often is it? It'll renew it.
Can I interrupt really quick? Okay, here goes the voodoo, but it I was feeling very heavy and kind of mind fog when I started this whole thing.
Right.
It's cleared now. So
one of the things you
can't argue with success. So that's
it always helps with energy and clarity immediately. That's its wonderful aspect because you just reduced a bunch of emotional crap and loads that.
Okay. Now, just a question that comes up with that, since there's a big program nationwide, worldwide, actually, to get as many people as possible addicted to multiple medical drugs. Many of the people that you do work on will be on drugs. How does that affect what you're doing?
Oftentimes, so I'm not in a position to tell them get off your medications. It comes up in sessions if it's relevant. Usually it is. We just need to balance their system to the medications that they're taking in the interim. I always say, as you get better, you should be able to reduce these medications and maybe eventually get off them entirely, which a lot of people who do body talk, they do. They get off their medications. I know a woman with lupus who's medication free now. She's totally cured.
Right. So, and there are doctors who will help you do that if they're more aware, of how this whole thing works. I'm not saying the majority, but there are occasional ones. I just can't tell people to get off your drugs without the doctor because we want to not be shut down right away if possible. But the reality is, though, the body is quite capable of getting beyond drugs if you know how to do it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And in the interim, you just have to balance their liver or their kidney to the medication, really.
Right.
So could I add a quick discussion, I'll keep it as short as I can, but I just wanted to say something about Elaine, my Naomi, I raised her through her teens, and there was a poltergeist thing going on in our home when she was young, and she and I butted heads, and there was a time that I really profoundly understood that there was something spooky about this girl, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that this happened is she was particularly angry at me. I was like turning my back to her. I was clean on the other side of the kitchen, and she was maybe 20 feet away from me in the doorway.
Right.
And I heard her yell something, and at the time that she did that, I felt something hit the back of my back, and so I assumed she must have thrown something at me, but then I realized and hit me. I turn and she's just standing there with her hand like, and there was nothing that hit.
So what she's saying is I can use that power for good. Or
there you go. I'm so thrilled that she turned all of this to good and for healing. But it's for me personally, that aspect is very real. And then after I understood that this healing heart that she's been pursuing was real because it actually worked on me. then I just kind of went, I remembered that about her. And right. I went, oh, well, that explains why she's so good at this thing, because she's turned that, she's got a connection, a harnessing, an innate harnessing ability that's very powerful to be able to affect things without necessarily touching them.
Right. That innate power, but
some people can harness it better
well,
than others.
You know, what I noticed that I would mention from what you're doing here is that a couple of things. You can go through these motions and say things at a certain level in your mind. And mm-hmm. if you are saying the opposite at the same time at a deeper level, even if you don't notice it, you're going to sabotage the effectiveness of your treatment. And one of the reasons that you're probably experiencing being good at it is goes along with what Joy was just saying. You're not doing that. When you're asking a question and making a suggestion for a balancing, for example, you're not doubting yourself at the same time. And that's really a big deal. I mean, that's not that common. So
it's going to overcome the person that's being treated may have all kinds of difficulties accepting and understanding whatever, and that's why they're having trouble, even if they're aware of some possibility that they are actually affecting their own health by the emotions they're having or what they're doing. That doubt is, a practitioner is not bothered by that person's doubt.
All right.
Just ruin the effectiveness if the practitioner is worried the whole time that they're not going to like the session or believe in it.
No, that's not going to work. Yeah. It's like there's a principle called resonance that is what you're working with. And it's like if you on a guitar, we mentioned before that if you have two strings, one of them's not moving and the other one is playing a clear G, pretty soon they're both playing G. Yeah. And it's a way of describing what the practitioner is doing.
Yeah.
So to be an effective practitioner at this, better and better, you have to always be working on yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
So I think
brought to mind one of my clients, she had a long family history of disbelief in this sort of work and thinking that it was evil witchcraft. That actually came up in a session for us to clear. Obviously, she was open to it because she was working with me, but we had to get rid of some of the past ancestral beliefs around that so that it would be optimally effective for her. So if that's important, it'll come up in a session.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say, too, in case anybody watching this is ready to debunk things and into that mentality, you can always do that later. I would just suggest, if you want to learn anything from the experience, that there are worlds and worlds and worlds that are not taught in conventional education. And this is, in respect of that, this is a really dark age, even though it's very arrogant and proud of how complex it is and all that. The reality doesn't care about that. And there are things that are so powerful on a subtle level. Not everything is a scam. And there are things that are worth learning about. And you can always come back and criticize later. That's not going away. But for the moment, you know, just be open. And the attitude of real science is what's true, not does it match conventional teaching, you know. And then
with the control group, I'm looking for the result.
Yeah. Even if it proves that what you thought is wrong, who cares? You just want to know what's true.
Well, science is always evolving as well, and we're starting to discover the reasons why that works. 100 years ago, of course, nobody knew. Nobody knew why a light switch worked or cell phones could work.
Yeah, the average person that flips a light switch doesn't understand
And if you showed somebody that for the first time and they had no idea, they might think it was black magic.
Exactly. Right? Burning at the stake.
Yeah, exactly. So I know a lot of people are scared to be open-minded because they think they'll lose touch with reality and all their things that they're oriented to will be disturbed and all that. But you can actually relax because whatever is true is still going to be true even if you question it. There's really nothing to
worry. The worst that can happen with a lot of, let's say, holistic modalities, for example, is the worst that could happen is that it doesn't work.
Nothing. Like it's, yeah.
You're not going to hurt you.
That's a huge advantage. Yeah.
Yeah. First, do no harm.
That's something spectacular. So the best thing is something that could help you and has no downside.
No possibility.
It's worth finding out about.
Yeah.
So how much of your time are you doing this now, Elaine? Is this a full-time thing or just doing a few, or you want to do more, or what's going on?
I'm open to doing more. I'm just doing part-time right now for body type because I also do massage therapy part-time, and then I help my mom with some of her activism stuff. So it's a full. But I have more room for body type clients for sure.
Okay. Is it super expensive? How does it work financially?
It's not a sliding scale for anybody suffering from chronic health conditions that has limited resources. And I'd say for how much you can accomplish in one session, it's hugely affordable. I charge $110 per session normally. And if, let's say, you get rid of your allergies in one session, is that not worth it?
Yeah, seems like that would be a pretty good deal.
Yeah. It's bad for business, though, because I don't get repeat clients if they only have one issue and I cure them in one session.
Well, that's true. I mean, it comes down to the motivation of the practitioner. Is it built on a business model where you want somebody coming forever? Or is, you know, really that's a question that applies to all the healing arts and the medical profession and everything. You have to be strong enough so that you say there is something called ethics.
Yeah.
It's not just pretending to have ethics for more sales. It's really having them. So if you had to choose between the benefit of your client or permanent business, it's easy. You just choose the client and say, you know, have a good life. And you'll
does do the sliding scale.
Yeah.
And there's some cases where, you know, she's just gets a call and it's like, this person's in real trouble and they have no money.
Right.
And exactly. Okay. She'll just do a session on.
I just want this modality out because it's so amazing. It changes lives.
Medical doctors used to work that way. Not that many decades ago. They figured that about a third of their time would be free. And, you know, the government wasn't having to pay for everybody's health care. It was just the medical doctor came to your house with his black bag and spent whatever time was needed. And about a third of the time he'd be doing it for free. And it was a whole different situation. So part of that attitude could be brought back.
Yeah, well, it needs to be because, you know, there are still, you know, for people that are dreaming about having an enormous amount of financial success in life, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. Right. But there are ethical ways to do that, and then there are unethical ways.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think there's someone like Adams who is constantly educating us about how to improve our health. That alone is just worth so much. And I think it's great if he's making money off of products.
Sure.
My sense is that he dumps more money back into trying to save the world than he's probably enjoying personally.
Yeah.
But I don't have an ethical problem or with InfoWars products. I've used their products. They're incredible. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with them benefiting financially. And then there are other things like, wow, I have a really cool idea for a toy that a lot of people are going to want to buy. And someone becomes a millionaire off of that. That's
cool.
That's great. But if your idea is, well, people out there need a lot of healing, I can get rich off of that.
Yeah.
Sickness.
Right. No, I mean, the money, I think money is potentially great. It could really help the world. But the only thing, like you say, is just try to give more than you're getting all the time. And just try to hand over more benefit, and don't be careful not to make money by something that hurts people.
Yeah,
and in her business, if you will, there's zero risk of her ever going out of business in her lifetime with as much sickness as there is out there.
Unfortunately, so, that's true. Yeah.
A constant flow of kind of new clients, and the other ones don't need her anymore because she can suck them. So they go tell everyone. And
that's how John Bell timed practice was back in Australia. He had a waiting list 2 years long because people just heard the amazing effects.
Exactly. You're not restricted to just working with officially diagnosed diseases, because even if somebody gets over that, they just have to start the next level.
Yeah, I agree. I will get body talk sessions for the rest of my life because it's so amazing and life is ongoing. There's no static place of perfection. There's always going to be stressors and I'm always going to want to grow to the next level and, evolve. Right. And this works on mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical levels. So it's an ongoing for me forever. I will gladly hand over money every month for sessions.
Right. And eventually you might be able to help other body talk practitioners learn what subtle things make the difference in degree of effectiveness. Because your focus and your consciousness and what you're subconsciously thinking about what you're doing, believing that it is effective or worrying about it not being, that's a huge factor in how much it helps.
It's true. Yeah, they teach us that when we're learning body talk at first. So you just have to be in this this alpha brainwave state. You're not focused on proving yourself or proving the modality or disproving it. You're just non-biased, open, receptive.
Yeah. I would imagine that you're very relaxed when you do it as well.
Yeah, it has a secondary benefit on me when I give sessions. I feel self-boost.
Yeah, exactly. And there are some systems where the person is trying to generate the healing themselves and they get exhausted. Mm-hmm. And, that's a sign that it's a little bit not the right focus.
That would be massage therapy for me.
Yeah, right. So if people want to learn more about what you're doing or get in touch with you, what's the way to do it?
My website, you can go to the contact page. It's conscious-healing.net.
Okay, hold on. Conscious.
That has an explanation.
Conscious-healing?
Yes.
.net. Okay, great. And that way, if they want to know if it's something appropriate that they might benefit from, you could communicate with them that way. And
everyone can.
So, and there's a contact page on the site, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, any last wrap-up thing that you would like people to remember from the whole session here?
I think so. What kind of questions would they have? Let me see.
I would just add that we can't keep up with counting all the control group surveys that are coming in right now, the unvaccinated surveys.
Right.
And so I don't have a number. I'm actually to the point now where I am going to have to shift from promoting getting more in, although I don't really want to stop doing that, or I'm going to have to shift towards just hiring some data entry people to do a lot of the organizing there. But anyone that's listening to this that knows about the control group, thank you. God bless you for your responses. We've gotten an enormous amount of surveys. It's definitely up over 6,000 now, and it continues to come in. So I'm very excited about it.
So we'll watch for updates on that in the future and what the next steps are and things like that.
I'll work on saving everyone. I'll work on healing them once they're already.
Yeah, exactly. Well, people who have had all kinds of chemical treatments, whether injected or by mouth, they definitely are prime clients for rebalancing the system.
Yeah, it comes up a lot in toxins for vaccine exposure in sessions.
Right. Pretty interesting. Okay, well, that's a great demonstration and introduction, and people can learn more on the website. And hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break. Don't go away, and talk to you in a minute. Hey, you guys, that was Elaine Bouchard and Joy Garner. And I didn't even realize Joy was going to be there, but it worked out perfect. And I apologize for the kind of quiet parts if you're listening on an audio-only platform. What was happening is that they were sitting with Elaine actually doing the physical protocol on joy, and it was mostly tapping on certain points, like on the sternum, on the navel area, on top of the head. And but the main thing she was doing was where her focus was. And, you know, when I first heard from Joy that we should have Elaine on the show, first of all, I didn't realize it was her daughter. But second of all, I thought, well, you know, not sure if that kind of thing is, you know, some people who do this are legitimate, some who are not. Many are sincere, but not effective necessarily. It was really obvious to me watching Elaine do this that her focus is excellent. And it's not surprising to me at all that she would be getting great results. And just my impression over the screen talking with her and her mother was that she's really good. And, you know, I would feel good about telling people about it who were close to me that needed some kind of possible help. I mean, as they said, the worst that happens, and I don't think they've experienced this, but the worst that happens in this kind of a system is nothing. There's no toxic element. There's no drugs to take. There's nothing being injected into you. It's all positive. And as I was alluding to during the recording, for those of you who are professional trolls or just, you know, you're so educated that you're sure that nothing exists that you weren't already taught about. Otherwise, your teachers would have known, or FDA or CDC would have told you, or something like that. Or it would have been in the peer-reviewed journals, right? Because all truth without exception is in the peer-reviewed journals. I understand thoroughly that mentality. I've gone through all of the higher education stuff myself, and I know, I don't blame you for that, but I'm just suggesting that you consider, just for fun, you know, you can come right back to being a troll or telling everybody that this is nonsense or whatever. But for the moment, be a real scientist and be open to exploring what you don't already know about, because that's an essential element of science. It doesn't just repeat acceptable information. It questions acceptable information. And it's always totally open-minded and totally skeptical, both at the same time, and not just of other people, but yourself. You know, the things that you believe are true, they may be from experience, but question it, check it. If it's true, it'll still be true, and you haven't lost anything. If it's not, then you get to go to the next step and correct yourself, or correct wherever you found this thing, and find out what's more accurate. That's the normal progression of real science, and it's not being followed very much anymore. People are saying whatever's in the peer-reviewed journals, that has to be true, or whatever CDC says, that has to be true. Nothing can contradict it. And instead of constantly questioning everything, which is science, to find out more and more of what is true, people are saying we have to criminalize any questioning of the current understanding of what is acceptable knowledge. That's not only not science, that's some kind of a degenerate form of religion posing as science. And it's up to us to be brave enough emotionally to say, wait a minute, if it's true, then we're going to have that confirmed. We don't have to worry. If it's not true, if it's something even that everybody says is true, but it's not, which has happened many times in history, then we're not going to waste our time being tied to something that has an intrinsic mistake that we're not acknowledging. Very important issue. Certainly that it's tied to the what's going to happen to the future of life on this planet. You know, it's so many things like the global warming climate change thing. There are aspects of that that are true. There are aspects of that that are absolutely not true, that are being pushed by malicious interests. And you could say that about anything else, certain things about medicine, certain things about agriculture, how you should grow crops. There are certain acceptable kinds of information on large-scale farming, some of which are true and come from a long history of experience. Other ones that are absolutely horribly not true, being pushed at the top by interests that are malicious, the GMOs, the toxic chemistry of agriculture like medicine. And those need to be superseded with what is actually true and beneficial for life. So if you find something is true, but it has this little problem where it kills everybody that it touches, that needs to be considered, okay? Even if everybody in the peer-reviewed literature says it's wonderful and it's poisoning and killing people, maybe it's not totally wonderful. And a real scientific attitude is open to those things. And then if something proves not to be true or not to be beneficial, well, that's going to come out. So we don't need trolls. We don't need to be just closed-minded for its own sake to ridicule things that are outside the box of conventional thinking. That's not science. Science is open to anything. It'll listen to somebody who's doing something that sounds like it would never work, because what if it does work? Maybe you could find out why and how, and if it has no downside, but you were going to condemn it because it's not being, you know, in the official literature as science right now, then look what you would miss. And for the people that are doing this intentionally, trying to suppress things that are true because they're working for other agendas, you need to learn too, because there are laws of life, laws of nature, that are not religious, they're not philosophical, they're not just a belief system, they're real. They're built into nature, and they say, if you intentionally do something harmful to somebody else, which many of us have done stupidly in the past, but it's not a good idea, you set yourself up for a corresponding lesson. Not because some nasty God caught you doing it, but your own consciousness is watching every single thing that you think, feel, and do and say, and is setting you up for experiences that are nice or not nice according to what you're, you know, needing to learn from what you're doing now. So it's a good time to change for the better and do a self-assessment. Be open to everything that's new and better, if it's really better, not if it hurts everybody, even if people say it's great. You know, the 5G system and even the wireless systems that are being rolled out there and that are already in use everywhere, and the kind of radiation that the cell phones put out. Barry Troer and the other experts and scientists for wired technology talk about how those are designed to hurt you, and they're very effective, and they do that. And then the problem gets diagnosed as something else later on, and you get some standard of care treatment that destroys you. That might not be really a great, brilliant path to go along. So what I'm saying is, remember what real science is supposed to be. In the end, it's the same as real spiritual quest. They're not different, because they both say, I don't care what I have to go through. I want to know what's true. I don't care if I get proven wrong. That's fine. It's not an ego thing. It's just what's true, what works, what helps everybody, what's good for life. And if you keep that as a priority and say you just have the privilege of getting to be part of that discovery process, then you'll be able to find out what's really good and what will help you. Whereas if you come out of school with this incredible ego to defend whatever you were taught at all costs and be close to everything else, which is the cult training of so much of higher education now, natural and unnatural and chemical and on all sides, if you can see it, then you're no longer necessarily bound by it. And you can start discovering something that is going to, you're going to like it, and you're going to be able to use it for a lot of great results. So stay open. Those of you who are interested in finding out more about what Elaine Bouchard is doing, she mentioned the website. I haven't seen it yet, but she said it's conscious-healing.net. conscious-healing.net. And find out about what she's doing and everything else. Just be an explorer, be a real scientist. You don't need 10 PhDs and a Nobel Prize to do that. All you need to do is be brave, so that you're not defending your own ego all the time. You're just saying, I want to learn. That's science and spirituality in a nutshell. And be open to it. And the clearer that you get, the more you'll get out of it sooner. And if you want to go into it farther, of course, you know about our club that we have on a private platform, less likely to get taken down. Planetary Healing Club, you can, there's an access portal at planetaryhealingclub.com that you can go to and see about that. We're all putting up, also putting up videos during the week that are on most of the major platforms right now. If it gets taken off those platforms, which is likely if this government does nothing to improve that situation, then find us at brighteon.com, brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. And we have a new Subscribestar page also if you want to help us stay on the air. Subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And let's see, what else did I forget? The main show and how to stay in touch with us is lostartsradio.com. That shows where we're on the air, and it has access to all the previous shows. And there's a mailing list on there that I recommend that you get on. We're not using it really for anything right now, but if we can't reach you through the normal video channels and you want to be reached, get on that list, because we don't know what's coming up. And at least we could maybe embed videos in emails and send them to you that way, which would be fine. People who have asked about private sessions with me, those are still available. If you feel like you really need that, then write me and I'll tell you more detail about it. Richard@lostartsradio.com. Otherwise, try out planetaryhealingclub.com. That's a supportive, interactive, live environment that we meet on live every week on Saturday night. And if it's not a good time zone for you, then you can watch the archives and email in comments and questions and suggestions, and we'll stay in touch that way. I think that's about it. So I'm glad you got to meet Elaine Bouchard. I think she's going to be doing a lot of good work helping many people, and she already is. We look forward to hearing about her developments as she progresses more and more into the healing work. And her mom, Joy Garner, remember that she was on the show on the Control Group Project. That's a free archive, and it's a really good show, so you might want to see that too. And I think that's about it. Thanks for spending the time with us. I really appreciate it. You're the essence of the whole Lost Arts Radio project. And in my opinion, you're the hope for healing the world. So whatever you can work on to do that, I think it's great. And I appreciate it. And thank you. We'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sacks, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribestar levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sacks and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
You're the kind of guy I can't keep my eyes off. You're the kind of guy just can't get enough of, and I know this is crazy, but I'm crazy about you, and I know this is fast, but I gotta make it last. And I just want you to know I've never felt this way, and I just want you to see you drive me crazy, and I don't want you to go. Please don't go and stay close. Catch me as I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. As I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. I'm an ordinary girl. I used to feel so stuck in an ordinary world. Came along in, butterflies are flying. The spark that we make, there's no use denying. And I know this is fast, but we gotta make it last. And I just want you to know I never felt this way. And I just want you to see you're driving crazy. And I don't want you to go. Please don't go and stay close. Catch me as I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. 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 And I just
and I just want you to say you drive me crazy, and I don't want you to go. Please don't go, stay close. Catch me as I fall deep, deep, deep for you. As I fall deep, deep, deep for you. You're my kind of guy.